Welcome to the show. I'm Jason Whitlock. Happy 4th of July, America. Colin Cowherd is out partying. Sitting in for him is a real American Super Bowl champion, Eric Davis. And we're joined today by Fox NBA analyst Chris Broussard and NBA champion Eddie House. Let's move to Oakland, where Kevin Durant just re-upped with the Golden State Warriors for 2 years and $53 million, leaving more than $9 million on the table to stay with the champs. The deal gave the Warriors the cap room to sign Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston and add another free agent like Jamal Crawford or Nick Young. I'm not so sure, though, and again, I'm going to celebrate Kevin Durant. He's taking less money. He's doing what's right for his team. Oh, give him a round of applause. Don't know, again, if this is the best thing for the NBA. If I'm Adam Silver, if I'm the league, I'm concerned about this player hoarding and the players now with the money to determine where they play, who plays with them, who can keep a team together. It's no longer in the hands of the executives and the power, the people you pay to run your teams. It's in the hands of the players. And you know, we got these players all grouping up on this small little group of team. I'm just not sure if this is good for the NBA in the long run. Don't laugh at me, Chris.
No, I'm with you on this one, Jason. I'm with you on this. I don't think it's necessarily good for the NBA because people root for laundry. They don't root for players. So you have an emotional attached to your team, and players are going to start leaving. And if it changes over to where you're rooting for a player, well, guess what? You're talking about a Utah. Well, if Gordon Hayward is my guy, I can still root for him as a Celtic, but I don't necessarily have to buy tickets and go to this game and be there before. But you also can't get upset with the players for taking advantage of the system that you put in place. You simply can't. What he's doing right now is that he has found, because remember, but you can't put a system in place that's going to tell a guy he has to play for a certain amount of money. You just simply can't do that.
Or he can't.
He took less.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm an owner or a GM, president, whatever, I'm actually looking at this like, okay, now I can go to my star and say, look, if you want to build a team that can compete with Golden State and win championships potentially, you have to take a little less so we can keep so-and-so or add a couple more stars. You know, Kevin Durant did it, so why can't – you're not better than Kevin Durant. You don't say
after
that, but
winning the championship.
He gets it. Yeah. So I just think it gives them ammunition to talk with their stars.
It should be harder for Golden State. If they're going to hoard all these top players, they should have lost to Iguodala. They should have lost to Sean Livingston.
But no, but
make it hard. If
perfect
Durant had taken all his money, maybe they have to give up one of these guys.
Damn if he do, damn if he doesn't. Now, if he would have took all the money, they say, well, damn, he didn't leave any cap space,
exactly,
so they could go get anybody else.
And you would have been sitting right there killing
him. Iguodala would have been somewhere helping some other team.
I like what he did because of this. It's going to bring the same team back that won it. We hardly ever see that nowadays in sports. Teams win it, free agency, you break up these guys, and you don't have the same exact team with the opportunity to repeat. It's not the same way. Like when I was in Boston, we lost James Posey. We didn't have the opportunity to come back at full strength.
You
want to
see 16-1 again.
No, what I want to see is somebody go beat them. Somebody,
exactly.
Whatever the executives have done over at Golden State, they have done a great job because they're able to do these things. And then he's taking less money. Don't think he's going to take less money next year after
next
season.
Name a team that
he's going to opt out and go
State.
Get his money.
Quit playing around. Name a team to compete with Golden State.
The Cleveland
State.
Cavaliers were competing with them.
They'll compete.
Yeah, they were.
Compete,
that game three, right? That game three was right there. They
lost
that
game. But
look at the system and what happened with this system. You had Steph Curry, who wasn't on a max contract because of injuries. You had Draymond Green, who was a second rounder that maxed out and became something that no one thought he was going to be. Klay turned into the player you thought he was going to be. That left the cap room for you to go out and get a Durant. A lot of pieces fell in place, and now he's taking advantage of the system.
I'm giving you Durant. Now I'm talking about Iguodala and Sean Livingston. Well, we squeeze them out?
No. They want to come back and play with this team and defend a champ. When you win a championship, you want to come back and defend it. You don't want to just say, I want it, and split unless you're getting
about the fans. You're talking about the players.
It's about the players.
It's about the fans. Pays the bills.
But, no, the fans do pay the bills, but the players out there playing, so the fans do come. Now, if you put out a weak product out there, almost
like
at Bootsy.
That's
what we say in the Bay. You put out a weak product out there, the fans aren't going to come. If you put something out there that's nice to the eye, they're going to come. If they're competing and they're winning, they will come.
And this happens in every sport. You're always going to find players that are in that position that take pay cuts, and then you find the ones that don't. Tom Brady takes a pay cut to keep his team in place, and people are like, well, it's a great thing he's doing. And then you also see Drew Brees that basically held his team hostage, and he had to lose a bunch of players right after that Super Bowl. So it's all in how you look at it.
I'm going to put it, too, on management and coaches of some of these teams, because nobody thought, as you said, Draymond Green was going to be a superstar. They drafted him in the second round. Yep. Nobody thought Klay Thompson would be a superstar. Steph Curry, a lot of people didn't think he'd be a superstar. Iguodala and Livingston are good players, not spectacular people. They've been all over the place. They have a system that is great. It's not just talent. It's not like they have all the talent. I mean, if I took, even before Durant, when they won the championship, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green versus LeBron James, Kevin Love, and Kyrie Irving. You would take Cleveland's trio any day of the week. What's the difference? They have a better system that maximizes their talent. Doc Rivers had talent with the Clippers. He couldn't maximize it. So I'm challenging the coaches and management to say, make better draft picks and trades, and coach, maximize your talent. I've given you talent. Put it in the right system.
What'd you say, Bootsy?
Yeah, Bootsy.
That's a Bay Area.
That's what I was saying, Bootsy
like
Collins. They
don't know. I know Bootsy.
Y'all calling them Bootsy Collins?
No,
Bootsy
Collins. Yeah, I remember Bootsy Collins. You act like I don't got a daddy or mama.
Disrespect Bootsy.
If you're a NASCAR fan, there's a new podcast for you to subscribe to. Heritage Road, the podcast that drives you down memory lane, takes you under the hood, and gets you behind the wheel of America's favorite racing competition. They've talked to the hardworking drivers, crewmen, and fans that made NASCAR possible then and now. From NASCAR royalty Bobby Allison to the broadcasters that brought racing into homes around the country, they've got all the stories you've probably never heard before. Hosted by the voice of Texas Motor Speedway, Rich Phillips, brought to you by Busch, the beer that has supported racing since 1979. Subscribe to Heritage Road today for free wherever you listen to podcasts. Now let's get back to the show.
There have been conflicting reports about the future of Gordon Hayward. Credible reporters say the All-Star will join the Celtics, but his agent has denied the report. But even if Hayward does go to Boston, I don't think it'll be enough to make Boston a real threat to LeBron and the Cavaliers. This is a nice move, but it lacks any pop or pizzazz now that Paul George is off the table for the Boston Celtics. So I say, damn near hell, stay in Utah. Aren't they adding Ricky Rubio or something or whatever? Stay in Utah and forget the fuss. It was kind of fun thinking about him playing with Brad Stevens and maybe giving Cavaliers some trouble, but now, I'm not that all excited about that.
No, he needs to get out of the West. This is not going to give them the edge over the Cavs, but you have no chance if he stays in the West. At least going to Boston, you're right, with George being off the table, this doesn't give you an opportunity to jump over the hill right now this season. But if you look at what Danny Ainge is doing, and he took a lot of heat for not putting together a package that could have brought in Paul George, but still, they are ahead of the game plan, and he brought in another piece, and he still has those pieces that he can use down the road. So I think this is a smart move for the Celtics. It would be a smart move for Gordon, because you know they're going to love him there. But I would have gone to Miami personally. But this is not a bad move.
Personally, Miami, yeah, for everything else but basketball. But I think basketball reasons, definitely I think this was a good move for Hayward, because he has Isaiah Thomas. I don't think he's the guy on any team that he was going to do. I don't think he's the guy. I'm not sure if he's even the second guy. He's probably the third guy that you want to lean on. And that's a damn good third guy to have, because I think Jason Tatum will be a dynamic scorer in the NBA. I think he's right now is going to come in and be one of the best scorers that we've seen in a long time as a rookie. And then you have Isaiah Thomas, and you have the defense of Avery Bradley. I think they have one more piece. They can contend a little bit, but I don't think they'll ever get over the top of Cleveland.
The measuring stick shouldn't be beating Cleveland, at least not next year, because you're not. They're not beating Cleveland. I mean, but you never know. If LeBron James gets hurt, he's going to be in his 16th year. If he begins to age at some point, then you're next in line if you go to Boston. And then 3-4 years down the road, should LeBron leave, get older, whatever the case, like you said, you've got the pieces to keep adding. And they may have that piece in Jason Tatum already where now you can go to the finals.
You know who Danny Ainge thinks the Celtics are? The Kardashians. Assets. Great for the Kardashians. Look, man, what do you mean that the measuring stick isn't the best in the league?
Not to measure whether Hayward should go. We shouldn't say because they're not going to beat LeBron, he shouldn't go there. The worst thing basketball-wise would be for him to stay in Utah because you're not getting out of the West. You might be the sixth best team in the West the way it's strengthened itself over this offseason. You get more money, but you're getting max money anyway. So the money is huge wherever you go.
And he'll be
and you're not making all-star teams, I don't think, in the West.
Yeah, he's young enough. You have enough pieces around you. Right now, if the Lakers made some kind of crazy trade to bring in some players, what good would it do? Because they're not going to beat the Warriors. And that's exactly what's going to happen in the East right now. But he can grow with that team.
So the whole league.
Jazz wouldn't beat the Rockets. You know, there's a lot of teams in the West that the Jazz would not be able to beat. So a great move going to Boston. And it's a young team over there. And, like, again, we talk about all the assets Danny has. He can make moves with those assets or he could get more draft picks. And then you have a young team to build and look 4 or 5 years from now, 3, 4, 5 years from now to try to when it's your turn, when you
are
next.
What do you say to the fans in Utah? It's like, oh, you can't even build anything in Utah worth having.
Holla at me later.
I'm saying they're okay. They're pretty. They got Rudy Gobert. They got Ricky Rubio. I mean, they're okay.
You live in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But it's like we're all conceding. You know what? Remember those Karl Malone, John Stockton years? That's as good as it'll ever get. It'll never be that good again.
No, it will never be that good again.
It won't be
that
good.
Those are two Hall of Famers. What are you talking about?
But I'm just saying.
The best pick and roll duo ever.
That was the best it ever was, though.
Karl Malone second liked hunting. He was that brother that liked Salt Lake City. That's going to be a rarity. Let's just keep it real. A lot of guys aren't going to want to stay in Utah for the duration.
Didn't mean to crush your dreams, Utah, but he brought it up.
Right. Second all-time leading scorer, first in steals and first in assists with John Stockton. I mean, it's never going to get that
good.
Okay,
but I'm just saying, it's like, oh, yeah, he can go to Boston and they can build. Well, why couldn't he stay in Utah and they can build some more pieces around?
Because the West is too good. If Utah was in the East, they would be right up there with everybody.
But that's another question for upper management. They need to put the pieces around to make him want to stay.
All right, welcome back. Chris Broussard and Eddie Helse are back. Let's move to Cleveland, where Chauncey Billups declined Dan Gilbert's offer to become the Cavs team president, opting for a life of broadcasting and lighting it up in a Big Three league instead. Yahoo says that Billups' decision was all about LeBron James, whose future in Cleveland is in serious doubt, especially with the rumors of a renewed power struggle with Dan Gilbert. There will be some people that will argue that we're headed for Dan Gilbert versus LeBron James World War II and that Dan Gilbert's going to force LeBron James out. I don't know if I put all of the burden or the blame on Dan Gilbert. LeBron has a huge appetite, and I'm not knocking him for that. He's a very ambitious person, and he wants more control than perhaps any owner other than Dan Gilbert in the hometown Cleveland Cavaliers will ever be willing to give them. So I don't blame Dan Gilbert if LeBron gets pushed out. Do you think or do you guys think we're headed towards another war and Gilbert pushing LeBron out?
I don't think he's going to push him out. You just talked about control. Jerry Richardson, owner of the Panthers, played for the Colts, won a championship. Now he owns a team. He made his comment to me one day that there are only two good jobs in professional sports, player and owner. LeBron is not looking for more control as a player. I think LeBron has already moved to the next phase where he's thinking about ownership, and that's why I think he's going to leave Cleveland. I think he's going to leave Cleveland because if he contends, that's why Chauncey's not coming there. That's why he's not heavily recruiting guys. I believe he's going to leave because the team that he wants to own is his hometown team. I think that's the one.
And if he's leaving is better?
Well, leaving is better because if he stays there and he continues to win, he raises the value of the property that he wants to buy. So he's going to get out of there and he's going to go somewhere else. We see a system is in place where you can bring other players to you and create a team that can compete right now. But as the value of the Cleveland Cavaliers go down, he comes back, buys it, and he's the hero when he gets back.
That makes some sense because LeBron does want to own the team. There's no question about that. And I've always thought he would buy the Cavaliers. from Dan Gilbert. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a wink, wink when LeBron decided to go back, you know, because that's something he really wants. But I've always wondered, the value is going to be so high when he leaves or retires that he's going to buy high and then it's going to drop when he's done playing.
If he retires there.
That makes a little bit of sense. But I think the only way he leaves basketball-wise is if Gilbert stops spending the money. And look, he just signed Kyle Korver for 3 years, $22 million. So there's no, not that that's a great move, but there's no indication he's not willing to spend the money. And he still probably has a better chance of winning there than anywhere other than Golden State. So right now, why go to the West?
I think if he's going to leave, it will be after this year. After they play, if they don't get it done with this group of guys, because it'll be, what, 4 years they've been together. They've been trying to get it done. Can't get over the hump. I think he will align himself with somebody somewhere. Not sure where it will be at.
Lakers.
Lakers would be nice. That would be a nice place for him to go. Come back to L.A.
But here,
and he wants to be an owner. So perfect guy to learn from, Magic Johnson.
Here's the thing about going to the Lakers. I think if he left, the best place to go is San Antonio. If you just want to go somewhere to win, go to Greg Popovich. He's given LeBron more problems than anybody in the NBA over the course of his career. And he is a coach that, with the talent, might be able to get you past Golden State. Going to the Lakers, if you're LeBron James, you better win it. You better win it.
George will be over there. Lonzo Ball will be over there.
But you better win. Getting to the second round or the conference finals for the Lakers will not do. Magic, Will, Kareem, Shaq, they all won it there.
Let's go back to the original thing where I think Eric's on maybe some fertile territory. You could probably make the most money not – out here in Los Angeles, if you're LeBron James.
Yes.
His business interests, off the court, his business interests, trying to become a movie mogul and all that other stuff. And so he could acquire more wealth, devalue the Cleveland Cavaliers franchise, and 5 years from now, after being out here and become, you know, making the contacts and maxing out his business interests, then go back and buy the Cleveland Cavaliers. Not the worst plan or strategy.
That money in Cleveland, honestly?
No, he can make that money, but still having the business contacts out here. No, he does, but being involved every day.
That's going to take away from his plan.
Bottom line.
It will take away from his plan ability. Now, I don't think that will tarnish his legacy at the end of the day.
That's why
I think it's only one more year to one more trial run with this group, and if it's
and then you're not
doesn't
trying
happen,
to win it.
Then he's gone.
No, he can still try to win it, but also think about this. Michael Jordan wanted to be an owner. He didn't buy the Bulls because he raised the value of that organization too much with those championships. You get the Bobcats. This guy's
he was gone
but still, the value of the two. LeBron staying there only raises the value. And you know that he's not going to be able to put together the team that can win right there. He's going to have to leave if he wants to win again, and he wants to win.
I can remember, and I hate to analogize anything to myself, but I can remember being in Kansas City and trying to orchestrate deals out here in L.A. And I can remember people in Kansas City saying, man, you're stupid. You need to live out there. You need to be a phone call away.
With all due respect, though,
yeah.
You and LeBron James are
no
slightly
question about it.
LeBron is a phone call away if he was in Alaska, man. Come on.
He beat me up on the herd.
Saying,
now he's coming out here and beating me up here, man.
Whatever you hear, with all due respect, you know something coming.
Yeah.
You know what's coming.
Disrespect. All right, to Doc Rivers and the Clippers, who continue to make moves and try to figure out life without Chris Paul. After re-signing Blake Griffin to a massive deal last week, Doc is now busy trying to work out a three-team deal with Denver and Atlanta that would bring the Nuggets small forward Danilo Gallinari to L.A. All right, I don't happen to trust Doc Rivers to put together a Lego set. He's Johnny Cochran for Colin Kaepernick. You Johnny Cochran for Doc Rivers. That's why we're doing this. I don't trust Doc Rivers to do nothing in L.A. He's Vinny Del Negro all over again. Doc Del Negro.
Don't disrespect the man like that. Don't disrespect the man. No, you know what? But it's not going to be totally on him. You forgot that he has a guy over there that's the logo, Jerry West. And that's a guy that he can lean on heavily that can help
Doc,
influence.
That's what Doc does.
I think both of them going to work collectively together. And you have to do that. You can't. It can't just be you. And Doc, this with Jerry West coming – Doc could focus a little bit more on coaching and getting his team ready with Jerry West in his ear and them working together to construct something that they want. I think the Chris Paul trade kind of took them back a little bit because they're not as good as they will be with Chris Paul, obviously. But they did get some nice pieces and an asset. So we'll see moving forward. I don't think it's going to happen this year. I don't think it's going to happen next year. It's going to have to be a 3-year to 4-year process to see. It's going to have to be. I don't think you can do it right now, especially look who's in the West. You're not going to beat the Warriors anyway.
I agree. Look, I trust Jerry West. All right, to build this team. He's done it in Memphis. We know the Lakers. So no, you know, in Golden State, he was the guy that kept Klay Thompson over Kevin Love.
No vote on Doc.
I trust Jerry West to rebuild the team. And to me, Doc's got a 1-year tryout for coach. And they're not going to be as good. You're absolutely right. But if he does a good job this year, if he could somehow get them to 50 wins and they're in the playoffs and, you know, do okay, not as well as last year, then maybe he stays and Jerry West says, okay, he can coach going forward. But this is now, like you said, on Jerry West to rebuild this team.
I'm just going to make this short and sweet. Can he right the ship? This is the Titanic. The band's playing. DiCaprio is floating down into the water. And Celine Dion is warming up her voice. No. No. You had the talent. Doc had the talent. You had yourself in position to where you had an opportunity to make a run. And you said it earlier in the show. He didn't maximize the talent that he had. You have a less talented team now. Why would I believe that he's going to be able to get this team over the hump when you couldn't get the most talented team you had over the hump?
I think their best team or their best opportunity when they lost to Houston. That's what the best shot that they had. But I don't think they ever had that swing man that they really needed. They had the point
DeMelo.
Guard. No, he ain't the answer.
That's
either.
What Doc's working on.
Yeah, but he's not the answer. Jerry West.
That's a good move, though, I think.
But it's a good move, but I don't think
he's
that
not he's, the answer.
Yeah,
he's
not the
player.
Answer. He's a He'll nice player. Him. He could score. He has length. He could rebound. He could play some defense as well. You know what I mean? But I just don't like calling for people's jobs. You know what I mean? So I'm not going
to
do that.
Not people that led you to
it. That wasn't the question.
He didn't ask me should he be fired.
No, he got to have them get a ring.
No, but that's what it sounds like when y'all keep going. He was like, he got 1 year. I'm like, come on.
I'm being generous. I couldn't defend him.
No, you can't defend it. I'm not trying to defend him. I'm not trying to defend him. No, I'm not backpedaling. I'm not trying to defend him. What I'm saying is that at the end of the day, they have a couple years to try to get this together. You lose an all-NBA player that basically was the maestro of the symphony. You know what I mean?
You're talking about Chris Paul. And you said lose.
Yeah.
How about ran off?
Well, because they didn't want to give him
that. By bringing your son to the organization.
I don't know, man.
Into a league situation.
No, that's,
ran him off, man.
They didn't want to give him that fifth year, man.
Oh, you think he would
have
stayed?
You know it's a bad culture there, though. Doc is a control freak.
He took a one-year deal, right? He took a one-year deal in Houston.
Y'all still remember, it's the Clippers. Come on, man. That's what the Clippers do. They've been doing it forever.
Look at the red carpet they rolled out for Blake.
They
comparing
did.
Him to Muhammad Ali. And
that was ridiculous.
I know.
That was ridiculous. I didn't agree with that.
Doc is supposed to be the savior of the Clippers. He was supposed to make everything so much better after Donald Sterling. Doc is the greatest thing
in the
world.
That's the same thing they said about Phil Jackson in New York, too, right?
Saw what happened.
Yeah, you see what happened.
So now
but he never even put – no, I'm not, because he never even put a winning product out there at all. At least Doc has been in the playoffs. He's been put – his guy's been on the cusp, but never got over the hump.
I could have led them that far. I mean, let's be honest. Don't you think you could have led them far as Doc did?
I don't know, man. I don't know about that, man.
I'm
not going to discredit this man's coaching ability. I'm not going to discredit that. You know what I mean?
He's a joke. I'm just
out of timeouts. I mean, one of the best that I ever played with. Out of timeouts, drawing up, taking advantage of things. So on that hype, I can't disrespect him on that.
I'm not saying.
But I mean, I can get out there and get him to do something. Now I don't think don't get that wrong.
Look, when Doc Rivers got the job, I picked them to make the finals that year. I thought he would lead them, you know, at least to the finals, if not a championship. And he just hasn't gotten it done. They haven't been as good as they should.
And also, you got to remember, Blake, he's been getting hurt nonstop, getting hurt. They're never really all the way together.
All right, welcome back. Chris Broussard is back, and we're joined now by the founder of the Big Lead, Jason McIntyre. Let's move to Tiger Woods, who was arrested for DUI back in May and promised to get professional help for his problem with prescription medication. Now Tiger says he's all better, tweeting, quote, I recently completed an out-of-state private intensive program. I will continue to tackle this going forward with my doctors, family, and friends. I'm so very thankful for all the support I've received. Listen, I appreciate Tiger putting out the tweet and the information, because I guess if he doesn't, he'll get asked about it at a public appearance, and so he's trying to get out in front of it. But, man, this feels microwave. This is 5 or 6 weeks for a problem that just embarrassed you in a way, and you had people like Jack Nicklaus and friends of his expressing real concern. I don't know if you can fix this problem in 6 weeks. I don't know if I would tweet out, like, hey, I'm all better now. He's always rushing back too soon. He's too concerned with his public image. And again, it's hard to blame him for that, because his public image made him a lot of money, and his dad wanted him to be this bigger-than-life brand. And maybe he feels like that's his job more than who he is personally as an individual. I think he's too concerned with his public image, and he's coming back, rushing back, and with an explanation, out of rehab, way too soon.
So I don't think he's too concerned with it. I think he put out a statement, as you said, he has to. I mean, Tiger's in the one-name stratosphere, okay? So he's a public figure. Now, what he said was that he finished a program. He tweeted out, I finished this program. I'm about to stay. I'm going to continue to try to get some work. Because think about it. If he walks the streets, he's back home. He's walking the streets. He's doing what he's doing. Everyone's going to wonder, did he flunk out of rehab? Is he using again? Did he get run off? There would be so many different questions. So he's saying, I completed that process. I went through that. I'm going to continue to do some work with my families, my doctor, and, you know, and thank you for the well wishes. I think he almost had to put that out there. Now, hopefully he continues to do more. I get what you're saying. It's quick, and you hope that there's more behind it, but he had to say something, and I think what he put out wasn't a bad statement.
Initially, I had the same thought as you, that he's already out? Like, he just went in. Yeah. But after talking to some people, remember, this is prescription painkillers, which some people have told me that's different than addicted to recreational drugs, whereas obviously you would stay a lot longer. They've known people that have gone in for painkillers and stuff, and in a few weeks, you're out and you're better.
So barefoot, sleep at the wheel of a car, Chris. Whether that's crack cocaine or prescription drugs, it looks the same to me.
I don't think it's the same, though.
But, Jason, don't you think drugs, on some level, this is how athletes react to fans now? They need to talk directly. Remember, 5 years ago, Tiger would put out a big message on his website. Now it's just like, let me put out this social media thing on July 3rd, right before a holiday. Let me sneak it in. I don't have to go through the middleman. The middleman's cut out. No more media. I don't need to sit down with Oprah. I can just quickly speak to my fans and get back to work. I don't want to read too much into Tiger. I just think this is what athletes do now.
The other thing, just digging a little bit deeper, and I read a story today where he rented out an entire floor of this rehabilitation facility. He didn't go in there and humble himself and deal with the other patients and go in there like a normal person. He went in there with his big celebrity brand and, you know.
Remember, when he went to that sex rehab several years ago, somebody took a picture and sent it to the National Enquirer, I believe, and that got out. Now he did, you know, he doesn't need it, that happening
again.
It's
a great point, but I think you have to be, you got to humble yourself to overcome anything.
I think we overanalyze Tiger for things that a lot of people do. The thing that led to his downfall, the adultery. Okay, I don't agree with adultery. You guys know me. But I thought it was very hypocritical. A lot of people in the media, themselves probably committing adultery, were ripping Tiger Woods. We praise athletes that we all know, that are all-time great athletes that we love, that we know were doing the same thing as Tiger. They just didn't get caught. And now, what appears to be a legitimate addiction to painkillers, because you've had 4 back surgeries in, what, 3 years? I mean, yeah, he's got legitimate pain. Yeah. He can't go to sleep. Now we're killing him for that. I mean, he may be very happy personally, and just the pain is real. The adultery is not something that people should have been killing him for, when that happens all the time in a society.
Well, and the issue with Tiger right now is that coming out of rehab, everything is piled on top of that. That's the thing. This back issue, the issue with the meds, it's all piled on. It's not a different set of circumstances for him. And that's why coming out, back to how this all started, he has to say something publicly. everyone is going to be concerned, be it good or bad, what happens with Tiger, because whether you want to see him continue to be a train wreck or you want to see him right the ship, people are still going to be concerned about what Tiger is doing. So all we can do is say hopefully it is a real issue with all those back surgeries. We saw it tear his body down, and hopefully he gets the help that he needs.
I rarely say this, and I rarely see this happen. All three of you made much better points than I did. Mark this day down.
Rare.
That'll never
July
happen.
4th, rarely, right?
Very rare, really. I mean, you guys just put a clown suit on me. I feel, look, I love Tiger. I want him to come back, but I was too hard on him.